Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 3, and we've been looking at verse number 10, which says, "Night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face, and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." And as we've been looking at this verse, we've been talking about how the Apostle Paul has been looking forward to going back to Thessalonica to speak with these saints, to have fellowship with them as he is looking to see what is going on with them, to make sure that they are staying true to the message that he has committed unto them. And where we left off here is where the end of this verse dealing with the issue of, "and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." And how the idea that they have is that they might perfect, that there's something that they're looking at as a possibility that they're going to have to accomplish as they're looking at dealing with these saints. Now, where we're going to start here is looking at the idea of what that idea of perfect actually means. So we're going to look at the definition of that word. And the word means to finish or complete so as to leave nothing wanting, to give anything all that is requisite to its nature and kind, as to perfect a picture or statue. And a verse that actually goes along with this, 2 Chronicles chapter number 8, verse 16. And we also have another definition: inquire into the nature and properties of things and thereby perfect our ideas of distinct species. That would, a verse to go along with that would be 1 John chapter number 4, verse 12. And one more here: to instruct fully, to make fully skillful, as to perfect oneself in the rules of music or architecture, to perfect soldiers in discipline. So the idea that we're seeing with this is that Paul is looking at him, Silas, and Timothy need to go unto Thessalonica, go to these saints to bring them to a complete state related to the doctrine that has been given to the Apostle Paul. And that's the idea. As we look at the idea of the saints getting together, a big part of that is that the saints bring each other to completion, build each other up, and how this occurs. Unfortunately, not everyone has this opportunity to have it, but the face-to-face meetings of the saints are what allows for this to actually occur. Now, it can occur without that, and especially during the time that we're living in with related to the pandemic that's going on and how there's, some limitations on things going on. But the real reality of things is that it's the best way to have this happen is when the saints can get together to accomplish this. We see how the Apostle Paul lays out what that will of God is for individuals. Let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 2, to where Paul clearly lays out the will of God here. And in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, we'll read here, we're actually going to read verses 3, 4, and 5, but we're going to be focusing primarily on verse 4 here. It says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." And we see how God's will starts with that issue of all men being saved. That the focus of the gospel message going out, having an impact on individuals that way they have the salvation, the gospel message being what Paul wrote over in his epistle to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, where it says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." This is the gospel message. This is the only thing that can actually bring about salvation today. Now, that's the starting point of actually bringing about when Paul's talking about this idea of perfecting them, is that salvation has to occur first. Once salvation is there, the next step, when we saw in the will of God, is that for individuals to come unto the knowledge of the truth. A responsibility that, you know, we have to help individuals get to that, but there's also a responsibility that individuals have to have this happen for themselves as well. Now, what we see when we look at some things of what Paul wrote, that there was a starting point that occurred as the early part of Paul's ministry was going on, that there was some things related to gifts occurring that would actually help to bring about this idea of this perfecting of the saints. And we see these gifts listed out. If we turn over to Ephesians chapter number 4, we see how Paul's going to speak about these gifts and a purpose that was for them, and he's also going to lay out a time frame of when these gifts would actually end here. And here in Ephesians chapter number 4, we're going to start here verse number 11. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So we see here in verse number 11, this list of these gifts here, these apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and Paul laying them all out. And one of the things that we see when individuals start to look at this is they start almost kind of picking and choosing and saying, well, some of these gifts are still in place, some of them have been set aside. Paul doesn't draw a distinction here. He has them all as these are the gifts, so they're all going to be together for a very particular purpose that he's going to lay out here in verse number 12. He says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So these gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher were responsible for this idea of the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. All five of those gifts were actually doing these things that the apostle Paul lays out here. And he also gives a time frame that says of when these gifts would actually end here, when he says, "Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." This is the end point of these gifts. So if we know when we have this unity of the faith, this knowledge of the Son of God, that we know that these gifts would actually end. Now, we know what the responsibility of the Apostle Paul was. And we see this responsibility over here in the book of Colossians in chapter number 1. And I will read here verse number starting from verse number 25, when it says, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now, Paul defines here and says that there was a responsibility he had, which was to fulfill the word of God. That word fulfill means complete. The responsibility the Apostle Paul had in his ministry was to complete the word of God. Now, by completing the word of God, we have the issue of coming to that unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, the perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When the Apostle Paul ends his writing, writes 2 Timothy, which is the last book written of the Bible, we have a completed word of God. And by having a completed word of God, we have this unity of the faith. You have in verses 4, 5, and 6 of Ephesians chapter number 4, those unities laid out showing the responsibility, what information we have as the members of the body of Christ that keeps us together, and having that completed word gives us that ability to understand that unity, and the fact that by having a completed word, we no longer need that idea of the gifts bringing about the perfecting of the saints that the Apostle Paul makes a reference to in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. The responsibility for this falls on individuals. And let's go over to 2 Timothy. We're going to chapter number 2. And we're going to see how Paul's going to talk about that responsibility that we have, that he starts giving to Timothy to have him understand what his responsibility was to make sure that the information in this dispensation keeps going. And here in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we're going to read here in verse number 2, which says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." The responsibility is that we are to take the information that we see related to the mystery program, related to these unities that the Apostle Paul has been making a reference to, and by taking this information, we give it to other individuals so that way they can be able to go out and teach other people. And as they teach other people, what happens is then those people who've been taught are taking these things and going out and they're teaching. And then those people that have been taught by that group are taking these things, having it committed unto them, and you see it being passed from individual to individual. You see it being passed from generation to generation, making sure that the information of this dispensation keeps going and that there's no end to this message going out. That's why he even talks about being faithful men who it's being committed to make sure that they're going to remain true to this message. Because unfortunately, what the tendency to happen is that people drift away from the truth of God's word, rightly divided. That they come up with their own ideas, they twist around passages to try to make them say some things that they don't say, with the end result being that individuals get further and further away from the truth of what Paul has given unto us. And as they get further and further away, the end result is that they'll eventually get away from even teaching the gospel message that saves an individual today. And we'll start teaching other things and say that this is actually the gospel message that's supposed to be being taught. This is why we see even how Paul gives us in this same chapter here in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, the responsibility that every individual member of the body of Christ has for themselves to help with this issue of the perfecting of the saints. When we see here in verse number 15 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is the responsibility of every individual to actually be studying for themselves, to be taking the word of God, and as he gives us even the information of how to take the word of God in, and it's to take it in by rightly dividing the word, and that this study is going to actually be work that an individual is going to have to do. You know, the unfortunate thing of what so many people do related to this idea of studying is that they either let somebody do this, their study for themselves, and they just start to believe whatever an individual tells them is true, or as they're actually doing their own personal study, that what they're doing is not actually studying. All they're actually doing is reviewing the same things over and over again. And the end result is they become very knowledgeable about that area of thing that they've been reviewing. Because that's really all they're doing is they're reviewing. They're not studying. Because a big part of studying is that there's actually growth that starts to happen of where a person starts to learn things that they didn't know, because the Spirit's going to communicate with the Spirit that's inside of them, teaching the things, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, so that way they can actually start to experience that growth. And that's what really comes from that idea of studying the Word of God. And as that study occurs, and as that growth happens, and the perfecting of the saints actually happens, we see how there's a change that starts to occur in the individual that the Apostle Paul identifies. And let's go over to Romans chapter number 12 to see the Apostle Paul define what this actually is and what this starts to look like related to this idea of the perfecting of the saints. Here we're going to read the first two verses of Romans chapter number 12. Verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the issue of what the believer is doing is that they start to experience a transformation in their mind. Their mindset is no longer revolving around the things of this world. Because the things of this world, we've talked about this before, of how everything that is set up in the world system is all designed to pull people away from the truth of God's word. And that's why Paul has to beg individuals to have this transformation occur, to have this renewing of the mind happen, of where the individual is studying the word of God rightly divided. And the Spirit takes the things that a person is studying and starts to compare spiritual things with spiritual things, looking at the verses, putting them together in the mind of the individual, so that way they have the insight into what the Word of God is actually saying, and then they can start to apply that to their life. Now, when all individuals who actually are truly studying the Word of God, there's, have, probably a list of questions that they're trying to figure out, what the answer to them are. There's verses that, I don't know exactly what this means. And as the studying occurs, that the Spirit eventually, by taking in the Word, has this information for us to be able, that we've taken in, to compare that spiritual things with spiritual things. That way we have that insight and can start to experience that growth and have what Paul identifies and calls it the perfecting of the saints. And the end result of that perfecting of the saints, if we go back over to Ephesians chapter number 4, we see right after that passage that we were looking at, related to the issue of what those gifts were actually doing, that there was a purpose behind it. We read verse 13 of Ephesians 4, identifying the fact that they're there until we all come into that unity. And that end result of having this is what we're going to read here in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 14, which says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, when Paul's identifying and he says that we be no more children, you see how in his epistles he identifies the individuals who have not had that full spiritual growth and spiritual maturity occur, that those individuals are identified as being children. And what happens with individuals as they're starting to have that growth is that the tendency is that they end up being tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, that as they hear individuals teaching things, that they just run along and go, well, that must be true because so-and-so said it, and so-and-so is a good teacher of the word, and they could never be wrong, and because they could never be wrong, whatever they're saying has to be true. Now, some of the things that occur, and it could be, Paul Davis calls it the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Sometimes it's those things. Sometimes it's just a thing of where the person who's teaching the things, has, because of their study, they've come to a conclusion that doesn't line up with what the scriptures actually say. The reality of what every individual has to have as part of that perfecting that goes on is they have their own personal study, and based on their own study, they come to the conclusions of what they feel the Word of God actually says. And as you come to that conclusion, you're going to have to be the one that when you appear at the judgment seat of Christ is, you know, will answer for those things based on the gold, silver, and precious stones and the wood, hay, and stubble that's been built, all based on what you've done related to the doctrine that's been given. And, you know, the unfortunate reality of things is, if you've come to the wrong conclusions and you've done the wrong things based on what you feel is faith, that you're not going to have that gold, silver, and precious stones being built. The reality of things that occurs for every believer is that our whole life, as we're studying, we're going through that perfecting process. There's never going to be a point when we reach a thing and say, I have a full, complete understanding of everything in the Word of God. You know, we have the limitations of a human mind. And as a result of that, we're never going to come to that perfect knowledge. We will when we get to the heavenly places. But our responsibility is that we continue to study, we continue to grow, and we continue to have that getting closer and closer to what that knowledge, that full knowledge is, and having that perfecting going on. And that's why the Apostle Paul looked and said that he wanted to go into Thessalonica to see them, to make sure that this process was continuing on, a process that all members of the body of Christ should be making sure that they're having going on for themselves. Now we're going to pick up with this in our next episode. Now as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some charts on the website to help you in your study of God's Word. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday service live on Facebook, how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions, comments, but anything on our website, anything in our broadcast, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.